There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top. If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Welcome to From the Helicarrier, the number one news source for Marvel's Avengers of High Time. I am Epic Boss McFall, and that there in the corner laughing is Boss Klotz.
I had muted myself during the intro, so you're like, soapbox clots, and I'm like, I can't talk.
Well, riding along and keeping us in check again, and coming up with the headlines is Golden Age Ibbot.
That's right. How's it going, everybody? Here is what's happening in your MAA. PvP stopped in for a little bit of a visit. So we've got some PP stuff going on, or PvP. PP stuff? PvP stuff going on. I don't know how you play, but that's not how I play. We'll talk about the rewards and everything along with that, including Deathlok making his appearance after being announced a little while ago. We finally see PvP reward Deathlok coming into the game. We've had our share of rumors this last week. Are there going to be fifth and sixth weapon slots added to the game? We won't answer that this episode, but we will talk about it. And Kate Bishop, Hawkeye from the Young Avengers getting added to the game. Maybe, who knows? We'll find out more soon. But that's what's going on in headlines and rumors. What's going on with current sales, Paul?
Well, we had gold sale. I bought in, so I'm not sure if it's still on today. But we had a gold sale with an item that adds to the demon sets, which was cool. We have the Legion Pulse Rifle is still on sale. And we have the new PvP items for 2 gold. Yay!
Race out and buy those!
Which the balanced ones are 12,000 and 27. The offset ones are 8K/16K or so. Whichever configuration you prefer. So they're a bit of an upgrade from the current Spec Ops items. Just a little bit.
Yeah, but if we wait for like 2 weeks, we'll get the silver version.
Exactly. Okay. We'll get a silver. Quite as good, but we'll still be better than anything we've got.
Well, I mean, you know, you can get the awesome Runaways Molly caps in beanies from the previous Spec Ops. So, you know, if you just want to add a little pizzazz to your items, because those arc reactors are kind of like, you know.
Arcs are what, 10 and 10? 10,000, 10,000, I think, even.
And so are the old gold items are the same value.
Yeah. So, yeah, if I've won one or two in the daily spin on PvP, and if I do get it, I go and find an unbalanced section in my armory. I always call it the armory. They changed it to items. It just doesn't fit. It really is an armory. I don't know why they changed the title. But the items, and I'll go find a place in my items that may be unbalanced that matches, and it will upgrade there. So I've done that. But definitely am not looking to buy anything. Because I'm playing through PvP right now, and I'm finding that even running with the older arc reactors, I'm still a good 2 grand higher in health pretty much against every team that I'm going on or higher. So.
Yeah, I guess it's just a matter of time, though, right? I mean, you could spend the silver right now and get those the Molly hats, or what, in 2 weeks? Who knows? There's going to be the other silver items. It's always such a risk. It's always such a gamble to do that.
Well, here's the ultimate talk, because we don't really talk about this anywhere else, so we'll talk about it in the sales here. Mm-hmm. The ultimate advice on buying these things is, how does it fit your team play, your style of play? Right. If you're struggling with PvP right now and you really could just use that boost, go ahead and get what you think you need. If you have the gold, Or if you don't mind buying gold and doing that, getting a gold sale, that kind of thing, get what you need to get where you want to be. But as long as you slow build a team like we have, where it's like, oh, we can survive until they cut another silver thing out that's a little bit better than the silver thing we have now. Mm-hmm. And we build up all the heroes, and we have trained our people, and we ISO'd them out, blah, 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 blah. We can last. If you haven't had time to build your team and get all 14s and get all the bonuses you can get, buy what you need. I have no, I personally have no problems buying my way into sure. PvP. I've done it before. So, because it comes down to fighting.
One thing to keep in mind, though, I don't know if it's still the case, but in the past, buying those items has definitely elevated the caliber of opponents you'll face.
That's true.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you, it's the kind of thing that you might only want to do if you're ready to play with the big boys. You know, if you're a level 300, normally adamantium tier player, and you want to, you know, stay competitive, that's something you might want to do. If you're somewhere in the middle there, you know, it might bring you into a whole new set of problems, if you will, because I know it did that to me the last time I opted in. I was playing against people that I just could not handle yet. I wasn't ready for it. So, yeah, you know, tread with caution.
Thank you. Yeah. I did forget that part. So, new Spartan shout out. I don't know. Nobody's tagged me up this week. So, if you're a Spartan, we'll send out to the unknown Spartans. Those of you who listen and don't reach out, this is Sparta. That's so there right. you go.
just in case, you're out there and haven't had a chance to email us, then that was for you.
That's for you. So, sure. All right. Current events, PvP dropped. Yeah. You guys excited?
Yeah. Yeah. It's something new to do in the game. And, you know, PvP always adds that extra to-do item, right? You know, at least go and get 5 battles in, maybe more, if you want to spend those early days kind of ramping up and getting up there. And for right now, it does seem like we are still seeing some of the teams from last time, right? Lots of Mollies, seeing the occasional Enchantress, lots of White Iron Fist, Heroic Age Iron Fist. But who knows, you know, how those things will change, especially with the updates that we had a week ago. We might start seeing characters like, well, I guess it'd be a joke to say we might start seeing characters like Cannonball make an appearance in PvP.
Right. But
you never know. I mean, they did do some stuff to kind of buff him up, and maybe there's some new combinations that work really well with Cannonball. You know, I'm even cracking myself up saying that. But anyway, I mean, there's, you know, for the most part, teams we're seeing right. are still teams left over. And even weapons, not seeing so many of the weapons from the current spec ops or any of the recent gold sales, still seeing stuff like the weather control device and, of course, the cube and the Warbringer axe.
Sure.
So nothing currently that seems to break the meta. So we'll see. Of course, when we find out something, you'll hear about it here on the show.
So one of the things that has made me happy thus far mm-hmm. is that it appears that Diamond is no longer the realm of terrible gains.
Yes.
Our good right. friend Nikolai posted in the Agents Only Lounge saying that to him it was corrected. It was back to the way it should be.
So it's not 100% there then. So when I hit Diamond roughly at the end of the last day I played, which is about 2 days ago, I didn't really get to play much yesterday. It was a trudge. It was all of a sudden I'm fighting. I started at 18,000 health points and I'm fighting teams with 4,000 health points and I'm just charging through. It didn't take as long to get through it, but it did.
The real question is, are the ratings adding up though? Like I did the same thing. Like I'm doing PvP now while we do the show. And I just fought a team with 4,000 health and killed them in one round. But I still got plus 10. You know, so I still got plus 10 from that win, which is, you know, the average. It's acceptable. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm in Diamond right now. So that's the really important thing. It's while nobody really wants to beat up on the, you know, the runts that are running around PvP right now. Mm-hmm. At the same time, as long as we're getting our proper rating jump up, that's fine. But it's when you're getting those teams continuously and you're getting like 1 point and 2 points, then you can't progress. And
right.
That's when it's a real problem.
Then it's the slow inch up, the five rungs down when you when you happen to lose. Yeah, that's true. I'm currently in Diamond and I'm actually facing what I consider to be appropriate enemies. I have had one toddler that I've gone against. I guess for lack of a better term, we'll just call them toddlers.
Sure.
But for the most part, you know, 99% of them have been decent battles. Let's talk a little bit about the rewards this time around.
Well, before you do that, I got to hit a quick, real quick button here. It's going to make an ugly noise for us. It's going to be loud. Here we go. Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Oh. There you go. Sorry, I was trying to kill that because it wasn't working right apparently, and it was taking up some extra bandwidth. It didn't need to be there. Well, all right,
thank
so it's
you,
gone.
Gemma Simmons. It was always good to hear from Gemma Simmons.
I always love hearing from her. Yes.
our silver and gold league, of course, 100,000 silver, 10 gold, no changes there. The diamond league reward this time is the Lil Boomer. It's a single target gun with a 3-round cooldown, actually starts cooldown too, deals extra damage on critical hits. It's got electrical attraction, so guaranteed hits against targets with static charge. Electromagnets, so attacks against magnetized targets are guaranteed to critically hit. And shocking, so if the enemy has crackle ozone or static charge, it deals extra damage, but it does have kicks like a mule. So in addition to a 3-round cooldown, you've got a single turn lost after you use it, which it would have to do some great damage to make up for that, because it's like the Havoc deal, where as soon as you hit with one of those big power hits, you have to take a turn off, and the total damage that it's showing for the weapon is 745 to 896. So we got to see what kind of damage this has in actual use before we can say whether or not it's a decent weapon to use.
All right. One more thought. Hold on. Here we go.
Yeah.
I got to reset this. All right. I know Skype is being, it was starting off fine earlier, and then Skype is getting weird on us. We are looking for alternatives for those of you listening at home. We're trying to, you know, we're cutting edge, right? We're right up there with Frog Pants and what you guys do with multiple hosts and multiple places.
Yeah.
And we're getting there. So thank you for your patience. So right. we got all the information, and you're going to roll into the next part.
Yep. All right. So the next item, if you've been wanting a Hulkbuster of your own, well, you're not going to get one as part of the Vibranium League. You're going to get a one of those power mech suits like you battle against in some of the chapters, except yours is going to be silver and purple. How about that? It's an infiltrator flight suit, and it's got a single EISO slot. It extends your recharge, allowing an infiltrator to suit up with an infiltrator mech shield armor, shield mech armor. And they've got a separate health pool and new actions that swap with equipped gear actions. So it's going to be similar to the Hulkbuster in that when you'll have two modes you'll be in, either in the flight suit or in the mech suit. And when you're in the mech suit, you'll have a different set of actions and a different health pool that you're fighting from, which will be interesting. No visuals yet on what the flight suit looks like, but the mech suit, a lot of us got in our email as part of the announcement of PvP. Looks pretty cool, right? It's, you know, it's purple and silver. It's an infiltrator suit, so presumably all of the other brands of this suit will be the appropriate color: green, red, blue, etc. So, what do y'all think of that suit?
So, I don't know. It seems weird.
I get a lot of flack in chat during the shows for being like real ho hum about stuff sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think this is great. Functionally, it might not be amazing. I'm going to throw that out there. Like,
sure,
it might be lackluster in that regard. As far as a design step forward and trying new things and spicing up the look of your agent and everything, I think it's a great concept.
Yes. I think it's really cool. It's really fun. It's the first thing for the agent that I've seen in the game that really makes me feel like, okay, my agent could actually survive a fight with those three villains or those three superheroes. Because most of the time I'm like, yeah, I'm not buying it.
Like, no, this lightning crackle behind me will totally protect me. Or this trench coat. Yeah.
I hate to throw you off, but I've got to reboot. This thing is killing me on this side. So if everybody will stay tuned with Ibbot on Twitch. We'll be right back. You'll still be able to talk to him, so you'll get a little private show there. We'll be
a little you and me time chat.
We'll be back in just a second. Pause. And we're back. And Paul, you were saying that you were excited about these suits. I gotta say, for the first time ever, even though I definitely give it time to make sure that, hey, yeah, I want to play with it before I make a judgment call. Looking at it, it kind of felt goofy to me. But you guys both seemed a little excited, so.
Sure. Well, it's just great to see Playdom trying something different, you know? I mean, instead of it being the same old skin-tight suit with, you know, crackles and pops and whatever dancing around it and a few color choices, this is something very different, something that we haven't had.
Yeah.
And who knows what, like you said, who knows what the actual flight suit is going to look like outside of the mech. Some people in chat are suggesting that it's just going to be a suit, not that you're going to have a flying buff, or not that it's going to visually appear to be flying, right, just that it's a pilot suit for piloting the mech kind of thing.
Well, what I find interesting about that as well is that we need to read through the stats on this thing, because it says something about it has a separate health system on it. There was something else that triggered. When you said flying, there was something else about it that triggered. I can't remember what I was thinking of. But it does sound like it works like Iron Man's Veronica, where when he said separate health, it made me feel like we'd wear a suit and then call in the mech armor. I'm not really
understanding. Right, yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is that it's going to be with the separate health pool, basically, that it gives you a few extra turns if you want to break it down. It's like having a few extra turns. As soon as the health runs out on that suit, it comes back to you in the regular suit, in the flight suit, and you're back to whatever health you had before you called in the mech.
Okay.
Swapped out.
What do you think, Paul?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to play a lot like Hulkbuster. Mm-hmm. And I think functionally, like strategy-wise, you're going to use it like you might use character switching in a fighting game or even Future Fight, actually, is a good example. Where you pop between characters sometimes, because, like, you pop between health pools to keep up one version. So, like, say you get a nasty debuff on you where your normal attacks on your agent are just going to be useless. Mm-hmm. So you pop over to the, for lack of a better phrase, mini Hulkbuster, and you just tank it until that debuff goes away, you know? And so you use that extra health pool and that little extra tankiness, because it seems like it's going to be like the Hulkbuster. You're going to be a little more tanky in that form. And then you pop back over and you do your normal stuff, you know? It just seems like it's a dynamic suit that you switch into to absorb some damage. Who knows if it's functionally going to play that way? That's the way I logic it. You know, that's the way it seems like it should play. And I think that's cool, because what that's going to do is, like, on defense, if you're using it, it's going to be weird, because it's going to do weird things at weird times. And, you know, we just know that that's the way it's going to pan out. But on offense, when you're playing a PvP, it's going to give you a lot of dynamic options. Like I said, basically, when you get debuffed to hell, like which happens sometimes, or you're getting real low, you know, your health is low and you want to keep that agent around for whatever reason, maybe just for the cube passive or something else like that, pop over, you know, and you can tank a few more hits maybe. It definitely seems like it might help prevent, like, your agent just getting taken out, you know? I mean, it won't prevent that one round where you don't get to act, so you just die kind of thing. But it's going to help with those, like, where you just get real beat up bad early, and it's like anything will knock you out. You know what I mean? Like, I know we've all been there. You've got, like, 10% health left, and you're like, oh, don't breathe.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You're just waiting for those debuff numbers to appear. But that's the thing. I mean, it could be one of those situations where if you don't have a way of clearing those debuffs, and you know you're going to be out anyway the next turn, you swap into this guy like you would. And while you'll lose health the turn that you swap into him, you probably won't lose health the next time, right? The next turn won't be still ticking away health on your flight suit.
Because it would tick away, while you're in mech. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's another thing that'll be really interesting is to see how damage over time works with it.
If debuffs follow you or if they just stay.
You know, in real life logic, just jumping into a suit's not going to save you from that, but it is a video game. So
right, exactly.
Now, I believe it also changes your attacks relative to what you have going on. It sounded like something, and I don't have the notes in front of me. I hope maybe one of you guys do, but definitely besides the floating health pool, it sounded like it changed how your attacks worked as well.
Right. You get new actions that swap out with equipped gear actions. So you will presumably, just like the Hulkbuster armor, when you swap into this thing, you'll actually have four new actions that will swap out with your gear actions. So there'll be standardized attacks that you can do while you're in the mech.
Good. Cool.
What I will say is this is going to lend a certain level of complexity to the game that Playdom might not really be ready for, in the fact that there's going to be a lot of weird questions. Like I mentioned the cube passive earlier.
Yeah.
Do we continue to get the benefits of the cube passive if we're in mech form, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a real good question because it's like, well, it's, you know, this cube thing, just because it's inside my suit doesn't mean that, it's not still emanating its power.
Causing the dodge or anything like that.
Exactly.
It'll be interesting to see how they do it. Because I'm guessing that if your dots travel with you, then so will your buffs. And vice versa. If your damage over time effects aren't going to travel with you when you go into the mech, then you shouldn't have access to the passives that you get from your weapon set either. It seems like it's going to be either all or nothing kind of thing.
What's the color of the first suit? I'm not looking at the screen right now. Is it the tactician one that's coming out?
Infiltrator. Yeah.
All right. I was thinking, like, wait a minute. We talk about how Playdom listens, right? And we've been arguing back and forth about this 20% passive dodge on the cube. And I was like, wait, if they launched the green one first, they are totally spoofing us. You take away the passive if you wear the evergreen suit, you know? But that's not the case, apparently. So
nope.
That was me reaching. It could have been, Playdom. You missed out. It totally could have been.
So. Right. And then finally, the Adamantium League reward for PvP is going to be Deathlock. Something we haven't had in a while, a blaster. I am kidding about that.
There are just not enough blasters in this game.
That's right.
I just feel like my PvP bonus for attack is just so low. And I'm just like, I really wish there were more blasters. I mean,
shall get your wish in a few weeks.
And it's cool that we're getting a character that is from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, this is not the 70s Deathlock that we're all familiar with. This is the new guy. This is the guy that that basically starts his path to Deathlock in the very first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, hey, you know, it'll be interesting to see if this paves the way for a Melinda May character or something like that. I doubt it, but you never know. At the very least, you know, some alts that look like Mockingbird as Adrian Palicki wouldn't be bad.
That'd be nice. And Fitzsimmons, I'm not sure how they'd work into the game, but I'd love to have that team in. Just
right, Hunter, it would be like a tag.
I'd rather play Hunter.
That would be like an awesome call-in. Ability for one of the other characters, like either May or maybe Coulson.
Oh, there you go.
The fact that Coulson's not in the game as a playable character is just like, it's gone too long, Playdom. Like, come on. Coulson's the man. We have his weapon. He pops up in dialogue all the time. He's not super powerful, so you can't make the argument like with Fury, being the big boss of everything, or like
other games
Professor
give
X
Fury.
Being too big. No, I know, but like that's the thing. I want Coulson. I don't want Furia.
No, I understand. Yeah.
You know, I want him to not be nice. You know,
that would totally be good news, bad news. Well, good news is we're launching Coulson as the next recruitable hero. The bad news is the game will end a month later.
Right. Yes, exactly. So just some stuff about Deathlok. Bullet Sponge, so he takes less damage from gun attacks. He applies combat data to any enemy that attacks, reducing accuracy, evasion, and increasing the chance for critical hits. He's immune to bleeding, burning, and chilled, as well as obsolete tech. Interesting that he's immune to obsolete tech.
That's because he's advanced tech.
I guess so. Very high crit resistance. And then he's got a move set that's rifles and a grenade and blah, blah, blah.
Now, Buck is...
we'll talk more about that as we get closer when he's actually playable.
Buck is actually correcting us as it's the Marvel Now version of Deathlok, like it's the Marvel Now version
of
Nova.
Oh, it is, okay.
But I went with you. It looked like, you know, the shield, shield version to me as well.
Right, and are they different? So the Marvel Now character isn't based on the, let me pull it up here because I'm curious about that. Wow, there have been a lot of people who've taken the Deathlok mantle. Luther Manning, John Kennedy, Michael Collins. So in television, it is Mike Peterson.
Right.
Oh, okay. So it's Hank. The one in game is Hank, Hank Hayes. Is the Henry Hayes version of it. Okay. All right. Well, then never mind. It's a different character than the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. version. Scratch that. Strike that from the record, Your Honor, and let's move on.
Well, you and I both went to the same place on that one, though.
If it was wrong.
We do need a musical
story. Normally, Charles, but this time it was Brian.
Wasn't that the red flag? Like, yeah, I bet I'm right there with you. You should be like, oh, crap. Really? You think that? So it happens.
Hey, I will tell you this, that he's got a 5 level or 5 times multiplier team up bonus with Punisher. So you can get 250 team up points just for using him with Punisher. So for whatever that's worth. Cool. All right. Let's move on to rumors. Rumor time. Now, usually we don't like to report on rumors because anything that hasn't been officially announced in the game. However, there's been so much talk about this in the Agents Only Lounge and in other places that we feel like we've got to talk about it. And that is the rumors that have come up and the data mining that potentially lend some credence to not only a 5th weapon slot, but also potentially a 6th weapon slot, both available for 128 gold. It's, I don't know, it's a very interesting path if this is truly something that's happening, because talk about game breaking, right? I mean, this basically changes
everything.
Being able to equip 5 pieces of the demon set and the cube, for example, mm-hmm. Basically these things were all built with the knowledge that we'd be limited to 4 pieces, and so we'd have to make some decisions like, ooh, which of the demon set pieces that they keep expanding, which one am I going to want to carry? Well, you know, if you can carry all of them, how much that does change the game. It's huge.
I mean, if you start thinking about all the – well, it's not as game-breaking as I first thought, now that I think about it. Because I'm going to say, start stacking all the bonuses you get if you put in the Neurotrope and you put in the Warbringer Axe and you put in the Mystic and you – well – what has been tending to happen, instead of building up to 18-20 green boxes, right, which are your buffs, and doing, you know, you do the Chaos Shield, I've noticed my buffs will be at, say, 15. I'm like, all right, I'm going to throw out it's not the Chaos Shield, the third level of the cube. It's Chaos something. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to go from 15 buffs to, like, 20 buffs. And it actually will reduce, because some of the buffs actually outrank other buffs or somehow negate other buffs. So instead of going up from 15, I've seen it actually drop down to 12. So it might as I was about to say, man, all the buffs you could stack with six weapons, your just two slots are going to be buff weapons. But that might not actually do what I think it could do.
Well, ultimately, what I think this is going to really enable is you're going to be able to play with a full weapon set. And then you're going to be able to, like, have your cube, your weather control device, something like Mystic or the Scroll. That's going to be the big thing. Like, that's what the average user is probably going to do with it. And then, you know, a few people like myself who are fans of the Demon set, though I can't use my Demon set anymore because I vastly out-leveled it now. But, like, you could take something like the Demon set and just go all out with it and, like, play every possible piece because there's been a lot of extra pieces released for it. And that's another option. There's a lot of flexibility with it. My first takeaway was like, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no. Like, I could just see Fonzie on the surfboard going over the shark. And I was just like, this is no. Right. And then I was like, you know what? No, we've been talking about this for a while. I've been an advocate for an extra slot for a while for like a certain type of item. One of the things I thought was like, well, if they typified a bunch of the items as like buff items,
support items or something,
like that, and then made the extra slot be just for support items.
Right. Yeah. Like, what if you could only keep a scroll in that item? It's almost like, you know, in your RPG games, how you have a separate key ring that can only hold keys you pick up in the game. And things like that. That might be a way of doing it where it doesn't completely turn the game on its ear.
So, you know, so play them. As you're changing these codes, free actions, quick actions, extra slots that we can have for weapons, you know, why don't we take that slightly smaller step with all this and get the hell off of Flash and onto a real platform?
Onto HTML5 or something, right?
Because it does sound like, I would make the argument before when we talk about we need better than Flash because that hinders the system. And it's such a huge thing. But like, well, you just rolled out patches that changed actions, which was an inherent code thing for our people, you know. Right. Then you rolled out patches to fix some of that, but you kept it the same. Now you're, and we don't know, this is rumor. But now we're talking about the rumor of adding weapons, which is an inherent code game-changing thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you did the PvP limit.
They got to update everything for that.
It's like, if you're going to
update the UI and it's, I mean, that's a big change.
Yeah.
I mean, now,
personally, go ahead.
Sorry. Like, that might be one of the reasons why we've seen a little bit of a slowdown in the content, because we just, if this rumor becomes reality, we've had two huge patches back to back. The one with all of the changes, quick actions and all the different, you know, retooling. And then you've got this one that changes the UI and changes the base functionality of agents. You know what I mean? Like, so that might be a little bit of a reason why we just get an extra week of NSO and other very interesting things. Not saying that that's the case for sure. But yeah, I mean, this is a big change if it happens. It's going to Mark Twigg from Mugtwig, I'm sorry. Yeah, he posted a really great conversation in the Agents Only Lounge. It spurned a lot of responses. People came at it from a lot of different directions, a lot of what we've already said here. You know, it's going to do. And his big question was like, he's like, you know, I'm a level 300 Animantium player. Is there a reason I'm going to buy this? You know, I've got the gold right now. I'm just sitting on it. And what I basically said,
is there a reason you're not going to buy that?
Well, that's the thing.
I don't understand the question, Mug.
Well, because his whole thing was like, I can only shoot one weapon at a time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the QA buff, or I'm sorry, a QA nerf, you can't like just pop off a million quick actions by equipping every item that does it anymore, which is valid, you know? But the thing is, I think it's just going to add a lot of versatility. And what I said to him is like, basically, you're probably going to be able to survive without this if it becomes available, but it's going to make the competition harder for people who have opted in. This is because the comparison that this gets thrown around is comparing this to the extra training slot. I think this is a completely different beast.
Yeah.
You know, the training slot let you catch up, you know what I mean? And for established veteran players, it wasn't as big of a deal, but this is going to be like, potentially huge.
It's more like comparing, you know, going to war against another country where they're still using people carrying small guns on horseback versus you having tanks and air support and drones and things like that. It's, you know, it's basically saying, you know, you don't have to upgrade your weaponry, but
yeah.
looking forward to seeing you in PvP with your, you know, without all of your passives that you get from those other items. Well, I mean, it's rare that a PvP match lasts long enough that you'd be able to use all six items. But having some of those things as passives, and counterattacks, you know, automatic counterattacks, I mean, there's a lot.
So the two things that would go into my armory or go into my slots immediately, or the fourth, okay, so six slots, so four permanent slots would be, the Warbringer Axe, the Neurotrope, the Dragon's Foot, and I think it's this Crescent Blade, because it puts on flanked and bleeding. Maybe it's not the Viper Crescent. There's something else that was a gold sale that I got. I kind of pictured in my mind.
But it wouldn't be the cube, huh?
No. That still would be in there. But there was a blade that did all this counterattacking that I can't think of right now that would just automatically, to those four, just, but whether I use them or not, they're buffs, they counterattack, they make my team stronger. Then, of course, the cube. But the cube is somewhat interchangeable on my team sometimes. So I'm saying if I make my team a two weapon team, that means those four things stay in the slot permanently, and then I can change out sets. I can put in the cube and something else. I can, you know, this is a have to thing. If one person buys into it, that throws off the entire meta. So it's like, can you afford not to?
Right. I mean, if you start going up against, I mean, basically, if one person buys it, the way you phrased it is right. If people start buying this, then you kind of have to buy it. If the Unobtainium army starts equipping their soldiers with drones and air support, then the Lilliputians have to do the same thing, just to come up with fake armies that don't mention any sort of nationalities of people who might listen to the show. Yeah, it's the way it has to go. It's
an arms race.
It is, right.
Yeah,
and so that's really going to be the thing. Yeah. Now, it does raise a valid question about, you know, pay to win and whatnot, because that's always a concern of people with a free-to-play game like this, one with microtransactions as a business model. Man, 128 gold, like, it's basically two gold weapons.
Mm-hmm. It's basically a $50 gold sale purchase,
and because
you get 265
something like that, yeah.
From a gold sale, from $50 in a gold sale. So basically, if you're buying it in a gold sale, it's $25 per slot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But keep this in mind, too, that this is rumor. So even if there is a fifth one, or I mean, if there's a fifth or sixth, that 128 might not be for both slots. It might be each slot.
Oh, yeah. No, people are saying that it's each individual slot. Like, it's going to be 128 for one and 120 for the other. I still feel like I'm skeptical about it, that it's really going to happen, because I think it changes so much of the functionality of the game, that if we can't even get code to fix Cable's dancing shoes for 9 months, how are they going to implement this? However, there are some things that do kind of point to this being real, like the extra space now that's on the PvP screen under your current weapon list, and the fact that all action sets now have a scroll bar. So, there's things that are kind of lending some credence to this. I'm still skeptical, and but there's part of me that's like,
I kind of don't want it. I think it might be a step in the wrong direction.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not going to entirely disagree there.
It's going to be a huge game changer. And again, it's kind of like the mech suit for the agent. It's something that, if this is the case, then I applaud Playdom for doing things to kind of change the game. And But boy, it's completely taking your jigsaw puzzle you've put together, shoving all the pieces back in the box and shaking it up and dumping it back out on the table.
With bigger, brighter pieces that fit easier.
Exactly. Well, who knows, right? Because it's forcing you to start over on something that you thought you knew very well and thought you'd grown accustomed to the choices for.
What if, okay, I'm just thinking about new platforms, thinking about a lot of these changes. You know, Farmville was, to me, one of the largest games to hit Facebook ever when it came out. Because until then, it had been, what, there's games on Facebook? And, oh, you know, Mafia Wars, and I don't care. And you know, little things to kill time. And then Farmville hit, and it became this breakout game unto itself that people would go, oh, you've got to be playing this. And people who don't play games were end up getting their radishes up and that kind of thing. However, they got to a point where they had to make so many changes, they came out with Farmville 2 and shut down Farmville. What if we move towards MAA 2, where it's on a different platform, so it's not Flash, where you could roll out the iOS and Android version at the same time, they all would connect and be same across platform, and we'd have polishes and new ways to do things. So we'd be starting over in an eager fashion as opposed to, well, we just lost all that work we did. No, we played the game. We beat the game. We want this new game that's the next generation.
Yeah, but I mean, how would you, you know, I don't mind starting over with.
Well, it wouldn't be starting over. It'd be playing a new game.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Right. So you call it what you want. You polish that turd however you want. I've dumped, a couple hundred bucks plus, easily a few hundred bucks into this game over the months of playing it.
Well, what's different? I'm honestly asking because you guys play WoW. What's different with WoW coming out with their $50 game, this is a new expansion, you have to buy it, versus the patches?
Because whenever I have to put down... I don't lose all the stuff that I've assembled. I still have 40,000 gold in the game that I had before the expansion.
Okay, all right.
And the
all of... all of your pets and mounts and, you know, the transmog gear, basically everything, just like an MA, everything you've accumulated so far is still there.
Okay.
When the new expansion comes out. I mean, you know, obviously some of it's obsolete and it's just cosmetic at that point, but that's what we face here in this game as well. I honestly think unless they were like, hey, we have to update to a new platform because we've reached limitations of Flash, we're going to transfer... It's going to be the same game but enhanced, and we're going to transfer all of your data. They would lose everyone. Like, very few people would stick it out, I think.
Yeah.
I might play it just to, you know, to grok it, you know what I mean? Like, to give it a go. But I don't think I would ever buy gold again or anything like that. And, you know, like, I certainly would never pony up 50 bucks again.
It'd certainly be a daunting thing to look at that huge hero list and say, okay, great. Starting with Iron Man and Black Widow again and working my way back up.
Well, hopefully, no. See, I think there's a misunderstanding here slightly. I mean, not totally, because you guys are right. You would lose everything. But, you know, when I say MAA2, you know, I'm totally talking about a whole new game where you start off with 20, just whatever it started off with before, just the 20 heroes. And it's hopefully so much fresher and newer and better. I don't know. I've definitely not put in as much money as Ibit has, but I've put in, you know, certain amounts of money, and I feel like I've gotten my money's worth on it for sure. Maybe I'm wrong, but I kind of see a sequel being a wise. Let me put it this way: if it fixed every problem we ever said that this game has had, and it puts it on a much more stable platform and lets us play on our tablets across the way, is that worth giving up everything you've earned?
No. Sorry, that's just my...
I kind of think it is, but no, that's what I'm asking. It is your opinion, and that's why I ask you, because I think it is.
Here's the thing. Like, I just started playing Future Fight recently.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest. I invested some real-life money into Future Fight, and I invested into it because I was really enjoying the game. I was playing it a lot. And the value that they offered was so phenomenal that I couldn't pass it up. Like, they were giving what would essentially be double gold. Like, you pay the same amount as you normally would, and you get twice as much. And then they released bundles where you unlocked characters at an obscene rate. Like, you got 50 biometrics for them. So the expensive guys, you got, you know, you unlock them and got a little bit towards their next rank up. But the low level guys, you just get to rank them up a bunch of times. It was awesome. Insane. Yeah. And very, very fairly priced. Like, you got so much for what it was. I'm willing to do that because it's a different game. You know, like, it's all the same heroes. Well, not all of the same heroes. It's it's obviously a newer game and it's in its early stages, but it's a different type of experience. It's got, you know, different features. It's got it pokes at a different part of my brain. You know what I mean? Like, it's fun in a different way. And it's refreshing. To play MAA 2 and to lose everything, there's no way. It's just one of those things. It's like, I've been playing, I've been back a year and a half, you know, the game's been out for over 3 years. Like, we've all put so much into it. It is more like WoW now than it is like, I don't know, like, say, like, let's say, for example, like something like Call of Duty, you know, like Call of Duty has a couple titles come out every year or so, and people jump to, like, they'll prestige a million times and max out everything, and then they'll jump to the new one and do it all again. It's basically the same game, and they'll just go through, you know, jump through all those hoops again. Mm-hmm. But, like, you buy a $60 game and you do that, you know, like, it's not like you're buying $50 a month or, you know, you had to spend $50 to unlock those two weapons that you really needed to get, you know, move forward, stuff like that. Like, it's completely different beast. And that's why people are willing to do it with something like that. I do not think that most of the Avengers Alliance fans would stick with the game if they did a complete reboot, if you will, with a sequel.
I think Paul's right on the money. I think that's you'd see a major, you'd see some hardcore people, and you'd see some people maybe who haven't played MA1 jumping aboard and trying it out. But even if they were to just punch up the graphics and not give us the same static backgrounds and give us some really cool visuals and put it on Steam so it's playable on all platforms and mobile and whatever, I think I'd have a really hard time starting from scratch again. Or starting a brand new experience. I'll quit calling it starting over, Charles, because I know that was...
No, it's fine. I got you.
But that's how I'd see it. I mean, you know, if it was a new game, it's a new game. But you're saying it's a sequel, and a sequel is a new start.
That's very interesting things to hear and learn. I know I'm different. I see things a little differently because I'm the guy that
you're different, all right.
I don't... But I'm not sure. I think I'd see it differently. But, you know, if it didn't play out the way it didn't play, you know, until we actually get our hands on something, we don't know. And we do know that they have the ability to tie things together. Because when you play it on the tablet, the only reason I played on the tablet was to get the free gun on the Facebook game. Mm-hmm. You know, so we do know they have a way of interconnecting things.
Sure. And even people were playing on the Playdom site, they didn't quite get everything transferred over automatically to the Facebook version, but they did get some.
I think it was cost prohibitive. They said it was impossible. I was like, no, I've worked on servers. You could do it. It didn't matter. It's two different servers. You can't. It's just a massive amount of man hours and money. So it's probably cost prohibitive to move it. But then they did compensate somewhat and gave gold and some other things. And we know they lost a good deal of players. What is it? He used to come in the chat room as the real Macho Man, Randy Savage, I think was his name.
Yeah.
And he was a Playdom player. And when it came over, he tried to get on Facebook. It was done for him. And that sucks because he was a big time player, and it lost that polish. But we've hit this a lot. I think some interesting things. Most of the Playdom, if you're listening, you may think I have a great idea, but I'm going to tell you that two voices on the radio and the chat room that you can't hear are disagreeing with me fully. Mm-hmm. So your community is speaking, saying they want polish without reset.
Right. And, you know, just to be fair, there's been no rumors or anything from Playdom about resetting the game. That's something that we organically got to in the discussions of the fifth and sixth weapon slot. So, to those people who are so upset about this, don't worry. It's crap that we came up with here. Not something that Playdom's even talked about. So, all right, let's talk about one more thing that's been rumored. We've actually seen photos via the MAA Latino data mining. And that is Kate Bishop, who's basically a young Avenger who looks like if Clint Barton and Bobby Morris mated, if Hawkeye and Mockingbird mated, then you'd get this character. She's unrelated to the two of them, but in name, obviously takes the name Hawkeye. But her name is Kate Bishop, and yeah.
Now the Young Avengers, I don't know that there's a comic or not. I'm sure there probably is.
There is,
But the movie, the direct to Netflix or direct to TV movie that they made, the cartoon, these were actual kids of Avengers.
Some of them still are.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she's not.
She's not. No, she's. Okay. What is her relation? Yeah, it's funny. It does not even list any sort of relations. But yeah, the some of the characters, Hulkling, I think is. Let's see here. We can actually go through
Hulk and Wasp.
That'd be an interesting, very interesting combination there. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Miss America, Wiccan, I think was Scarlet Witch, and who was it? It was here we go. Let's see. He's Wiccan is the son of Scarlet Witch and Vision.
Okay. Mark Parrott just sent a picture. You got Hulkling, Giant Girl, which Giant Girl indicates Hank Pym and somebody. Spider Girl, Vision. Okay, Vision's just Vision. Speed, which looks like a Quicksilver and somebody. Patriot, Kate Bishop, and Iron Lad, which of course Iron Lad would be Tony Stark's kid.
No.
No?
Iron Lad is Kang.
Right.
He's Kang himself?
Yeah, he's...
It's a younger version of Kang.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It gets really convoluted really quickly.
Yeah.
Well, because he ends up fighting himself with the other young Avengers, which is great. Right. But yeah, it's Kang. Iron Lad would be, dude, if this is the beginning of a cycle of young Avengers, I am super stoked. Because I would love to see Wiccan. I would love to see Iron Lad. And I mean, they're all good characters. You know what I mean? Like it's a very interesting story. They tackle a lot of young adult themes, but also like it's just good old fashioned comic book stuff, you know?
Right.
And they're cool characters. So
now I'm going to give voice to some people in the chat room or in our Agents Only Knowledge rather that were very much the opposite. Now, before I do that, I'm for any new character. You know, I am definitely the guy on the show who didn't grow up reading every comic book. I don't have my massive favorites. I have a few favorites. But there are a lot of people who play this game who are absolutely big into the Marvel history, a huge into the Golden Age and Silver Age and everything you can think of. And it's crackling thunder and lightning here. So just so you know.
Wow.
But in the chat room, and I won't call them out mostly because I can't remember the exact name of the person who brought it out, but I thought they had a voice and it needed to be heard, is while I react and want good or any new character, and you're a fan, Klotz, of Young Avengers, it sounds like, he was saying that he's tired of the kids. When there's so many good adult heroes that they're not pulling from, he's kind of tired of the Runaways. He didn't want another babysitting thing with Young Avengers. And I see his point. I see the point of when you've got non-contract dispute, you know, Namor's Namor, right? We know that story. So, but we have other people who are not under these disputes that they're just not touching. They're just not pulling them in. I get his frustration.
It's funny because I don't have a problem with them, you know, with whatever the age of the characters that they bring in are. But if they're going to pull from a new team or pull from an existing team, man, I wish they would have considered Alpha Flight.
And yeah, maybe I was just thinking that. Yes.
Maybe that's an issue with the X-Men and mutants and that sort of thing. Maybe there's some sort of...
But that didn't affect our game because we have X-Men and mutants in our
right,
game.
Right, yeah, of course.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they want to push those.
True.
I mean, you got to remember that this is a game produced by Disney itself, you know, so ultimately, and that they, I mean, we've talked about it when we've done expanded universe stuff before, because of Fox stranglehold on everything X-Men, and the way that, and they've been doing with like Fantastic Four as well. They're playing hardball. They're dragging those franchises through the mud to a certain degree, or at least throwing out canon and stuff and just being like, no, we don't care. Screw you guys. And Marvel's response is like, well, screw you. We're going to cancel Fantastic Four and we're going to kill Wolverine. Yeah. Good luck selling movie tickets now. You know, right. I really do think that there's a strategic focus from Marvel and Disney to focus on the properties that they still have in-house that can either be tied into animated stuff that they're going to do, or, you know, TV shows, or maybe future movies and TV shows. So, like, pushing stuff that isn't licensed out someplace else is only good for them in that regard. And I think that's why they keep doing it. But, I mean, at the other time, like, the response to the kids thing, we have over 100 heroes, and we've got, what, like, 5 or 6 kids? Like,
yeah, something like that.
Now, I don't know as much about the Runaways as I do about Young Avengers, and I don't know much about Young Avengers because I only read like that first little stint when it first came out. From when it first came out, I read it recently, about a year ago. I thought it was cool, though. I thought it was a really cool story. And it tackled a lot of interesting issues, and I thought it was perfect for the age group it was targeting. You know, it was targeting teenagers, and it talked about all kinds of stuff that teenagers deal with, and also the legacy of being either related to or derived from another hero or villain. You know, there's a stigma and a burden, if you will. There's interesting stories to be told in that way. And so I don't think that's a bad thing. We have a ton of characters in the game. I mean, like, we really do, either as unplayables or as the huge cast of playable characters. And I can't think of many that aren't in the game yet that, like, I'm dying to see, other than, you know, like, the couple obvious ones we've talked about that just aren't going to happen, like Namor. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's my whole thing, is I think, like, they're kind of running out of the obvious choices. And bringing in new teams gives them a lot more options than just bringing in random characters. Because they can bring a random character in anytime, you know what I mean? Yeah. But when they bring in a whole new team, when they start a new team like this, like Young Avengers, well, now we can do a Spec Ops and a PvP. And, like, you know, they can conform some content around a team, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, for them. Maybe not so much for us, because we feel like we get bombarded by a certain thing for a little while. But it's, in the end, it all works out. I mean, Runaways was pretty popular despite it being relatively obscure in the grand scheme of Marvel things. You know, mm-hmm. It's a very recent, you know, set of stories and a set of characters, and people still dug it. Like, people play with them all the time. Like, I've been seeing stuff with. I've heard there's a PvP team right now with Victor Mancha, and then there's also one with. Chase. I'm just like, okay, like, so they're having impact. I've been playing Nico since I got her.
Sure.
In my PvP team, I'm still playing her. She got buffed and she's awesome, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't think these are bad things, but I understand that perspective. Like, it's just, I think you just got to lighten up a little bit and just be like, there's not a ton of other options, you know, that are gonna carry a lot of weight or are easy to work with, you know.
Sure.
So
sure. I'm sorry, I was over here playing Future Fight. You were saying. I'm just kidding with everybody. So one last thing before we hit to our next two segments here real quick is Loot Crate giveaway time. You know, I've been building up a box to give away at the charity event on Thanksgiving. However, this one I thought we could use to pump up our Patreons.
Ooh, so I like that.
As those of you who've gotten Loot Crate already, you should already know, and hopefully there's no spoilers. If so, close your ears right now because I'm about to say what is in it. Just this one thing, it didn't suit me that well, but it's a really cool shirt. It's a unique, licensed Power Rangers t-shirt. Mm. And I thought it looked cool. I'm not a big Power Rangers fan. I probably won't wear the shirt. It is a 3X. So if you're in a Patreon, if you're in the Agents Only Lounge, actually, and we'll do this at the end of next month, so you've got 4 weeks to get in. So be a part of Patreon, be a part of Agents Only Lounge. We will do a random number generator for all the members in the lounge, which we just hit 100, by the way.
Yay!
Yes! So I will give away this shirt and another prize from, I'll pick something from the box that I have. So that in case you don't wear a 3X shirt, I understand not everybody's big like I am, then you'll also get something cool with it as well.
Cool. And you'll get, you know, I'll even give you your choice of cool things. I'll tell you what's in the box.
Ice cube trays or.
Oh, no, no. I kept that.
You're keeping the ice cube tray without the shoelaces? You keeping the shoelaces?
I am. The shoelaces are going to go to my daughter on her birthday. So there's, but there are other boxes, not just this box. There are other boxes.
Yeah, I've got tons of stuff
stored to give away. So just want to let you guys know now's the time to sign up on patreon.com/fromthehelicarrier. Support what we do, help us make the show better. And we're going to give away free stuff randomly, maybe every month. You know, I'd like to do it every month. I just don't know if I can swing that.
Yeah, I came really close. So this last weekend, I went to Denver Comic Con for a day. My son graduated from high school this weekend. We had a house full of people. So I couldn't escape for more than one day of Denver Comic Con. But went there yesterday, and I almost signed up for Nerd Block, which would be like my, you know, when you've got Comic Bento and not Nerd Block. Nerd Block is the one I'm already doing, right? That's the one that's Arcade Block, Nerd Block.
Nerd Block and Arcade Block are the same parent company, just slightly different things.
Is that the one that I did that Snorri told me about, or is what's the
I
one
think
that's
it is.
Canadian?
I think it is Nerd Block. That's Canadian. So
he begged you earlier not to spoil it, by the way. So
yeah, I know.
Just
I won't spoil anything. No, but there was another one that was there, and I can't remember who it was. I'll have to look in my my bag of business cards. But almost signed up for yet another one of those monthly deals, and decided, you know, what am I going to do with all this stuff?
Yeah.
Plus, you start seeing some overlap, right? I mean, superherostuff.com has some of the shoelace things, the t-shirt things similar to Loot Crate. And so you start seeing some overlap, and maybe it's time for me to pare down. But I did see a fantastic cosplay of Angela, which I'm going to post on the Agents Only Lounge.
Nice.
Because it was an incredibly well-done costume.
And to be clear, the way to get the Agents Only Lounge is through Patreon.com by donating to the show or by filling a need that we have. And right now, unless we need editors to help put stuff up on the site content-wise, I think we're got a full house. So it might be your best bet to go through Patreon.com.
Yeah.
Real quick, the basic training with Ellie Collins this week, again, is a red segment. She'll be on next week to do her live segment. So I asked her, I said, you've been having problems with adding friends, and you told me you were able to open it up in a different place on a different computer, and all of a sudden, yay, unless you add friends, how's that changed your game this week? And she goes, it really hasn't, only let her add a couple of new people, and it's kind of trickling in a new person a day or so. So it hasn't had a lot of impact. Right now, it feels a bit like the low-level grinding when you join your friends in WoW, and they're all level 30. So it's definitely a grind, but I'm enjoying it now that TimeGate was a conference she's at this weekend. Now that TimeGate is over and I'm done with cons for a while, I can focus on it. Everything is still pretty straightforward. I don't really know how to earn more of the purple things, though I'm a stalemate. So I'm at a stalemate on research and training. So I told her, here's the question and the tip for basic training this week. It is the coins come from visiting your friends, so definitely visit your allies every day. Even if you only have four or five, visit them. You'll get a handful of coins from that. You can also, if you're out and you want to do research, it'll say ask friends. You click that, it'll send it to all four or five of your friends, you know, hopefully.
Right.
And then you can also send to those people. Now, obviously, we keep pushing. We keep hoping that the bug will be fixed, that whatever's wrong with adding allies will be fixed, so that you end up having 50-plus allies. Now, a side note, I said that last week about having more than 50 allies and somebody coming in the chat room. You can only have 50. No, no, no. You can only see 50. You can have, I think I have 180 allies right now. What that means is I get my 50 max, and that's all I can visit, and that's all I can do group bosses, that kind of thing. However, sure. To my 180 allies, I can send my group boss. I can send gifts. You can request gifts from me, and I can send them to you. So I'm supporting 180 people out there, roughly.
It's the difference between the 50 that you see along the bottom versus the multitudes that you see in the messages box.
Exactly. Exactly. And they can send me gifts. So I've guaranteed 50 gift receipts a day to be able to open. Even if I find stuff like the Blue Pyramid I don't like, I can delete it and I keep going. When you get the more your friends, you can do it. But if you hit the ask friends, it'll automatically send out to your Marvel friends. But then you can go into the gift tab and send the purple coins out to everybody on your list, and you can do that up to 50 times, which is a hassle because you have to do it each time. You have to pick the coin. You have to say Marvel friends, send, get, right. You know, rinse and repeat. But you can get coins that way. Go ahead.
And I'm going to add something, a little extra something on there. And again, because, you know, we're level 300 players or close to level 300 players, we've forgotten about this or don't think about it. But everything that you get when you visit your allies along the bottom of the screen stockpiles, with the exception of energy.
Yes.
So if you go through all your energy doing some battles, going through a chapter or through spec ops, it's a good idea to wait until you're
Yeah. Which, you know, by the way, how badass is it that on Future Fight, as you level up, you get one more max energy, but you do stockpile energy. I had 217 out of 68 the other day. And that's like, oh, that's so awesome. So, sorry. All right, Klotz, you have any advice to give to basic trainers? Okay. There you go. So here is All Hail the King.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now for this week, we do have some news, but we don't have a new character or costume to play with just yet. However, Kate Bishop was announced, and I'm pretty excited about that. I'm thinking she could be released as early as today. But despite what people think, I have no insider knowledge. Often I'll be asked, hey, when's this coming out, or when's this character getting released? And believe me, I wish I knew. But I'm not even close to the first one to find out. Oftentimes I get a ton of messages from other agents telling me when something's released. And typically, I'm not even home or even close to a computer at the time. So I guess that's how we know when something's going to be released. Whenever I have to go somewhere and do something. That's how Playdom schedules their releases. So I'll go ahead and get them my vacation schedule, or whenever I'm going to go fishing, or I'm at a baseball game, or something like that, and then they'll plan their releases accordingly. I'm actually going to be away from home tonight, so that means that Kate Bishop, or the next Age of Ultron costume, will probably be released. So there it is, breaking news. Have fun, everyone. And now, back to the hosts.
No, I'm just kidding. Sure.
There is a lot more controversial news to talk about. And oftentimes, I know, I concentrate on the negative aspects of a proposed change. I wish that wasn't the case, and I could just always say, Playdom only makes the right decisions. Every update is perfect. Every release, worth its price and more. But no company can say that. No developer gets it right every time. I think most of you know where I'm going. It's about the dreaded stealth patch notes. But before we go down that wormhole, let me just say that I was very pleasantly surprised and quite impressed at all the things the devs ended up fixing before the new PvP launch. Seriously, there's no other way to put it. I was impressed. They did a great job, and they do deserve to be commended for it. That is, whether you like or agree with the quick action changes or not. And so far, I have to say the matches have been much faster and smoother for me. But those changes may have also been implemented to prepare us for an upcoming sale and major game change. First of all, who knows, this may not even happen. But it's been circulating that there's going to be a 5th and 6th equipment slot for our agent, costing 128 gold each. That's a pretty hefty price tag, and if you don't pay it, you will definitely be sorry. That's probably one of the biggest problems with this. The fact that it's going to create an even larger gap between the haves and have-nots. Don't get me wrong, I'm torn on this myself, because part of me knows it's going to allow some crazy combinations, and the gears in my brain are already starting to turn. It could open up so much. At the same time though, I would think it's impossible to know the full ramifications of adding one equipment slot, let alone two. There truly may be some nearly invincible agents out there. There could easily be some sort of loop, or other game-breaking combinations. In fact, that's almost a certainty. And while I look forward to finding those very powerful combinations, I can't help but think about those free players, or those who are going to be stuck at 4 slots. 256 gold is going to be tough for a lot of us, even though we know we have to do it. I'm still honestly worried about that price tag, even for myself. But talk about becoming a super agent. I don't know how someone with 4 slots is going to overcome that much power in one agent. Well, at the least it's going to be difficult. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic though, and you can just focus down the agent. Then it's problem solved, right? Well, I'm not so sure, because it still would appear as a money grab. And for those who couldn't overcome the agent, there's going to be a lot of complaining, possibly even quitting. Which is the last thing that I, or anyone else who plays this game, should want to happen. The bigger the player base, the better. But hey, maybe these changes won't even come. Maybe it was just a joke, or they were putting out a feeler to see what we said. So if that's the case, there's my 2 cents. And as for the All Hail the King video, it's going to be on Kate Bishop, who I am really banking on getting released before next Tuesday, and I have time to level her to 9. I'm going away from my home and computer now, so the ball's in your court, Playdom. Thank you for listening. Back to the hosts.
So I did just check the recruitable agents there, and I've got nothing. I've got Deathlock, of course, locked out, and then Victor Manchad Destroyer, and then the 2 expired Heroes, Constrictor and Satana. So that's nothing yet. No, they just heard now that you're gone, so they'll do that.
Now they'll release it. Right, exactly.
So, you know, of course, we talked about the 5th and 6th slot. Sounds like he's kind of on the same page as us, where we'll just have to see.
Yeah, and we even have a letter in the from the field that talks about this. So we're not done talking about it on this show yet, at least not done hearing what people have to say about it.
So. Right. Now, I do want to throw out, before we hit these letters, just for you guys in Expanded Universe, you know, we definitely are going to be sprinkling some Future Fight stuff throughout the show as it pertains to the show here, because it is a really good game. It could quite possibly be a game changer for Playdom, either by them learning or by them not learning, you know, one way or the other. But a big thing that Future Fight is doing right now is every day you log in, you get a chance at a free hero. I think once you accept it, that's it. But every day I've had a new hero pop up, and I've had 2 of them that I had to go, do I take this one or I wait? It's a nice little gambling game, and I've actually passed on all of them so far.
But those are ones you get from the when you go to the shop and get the free box, right?
Yeah.
Or is that a different thing?
Yeah, okay. Probably. No,
I believe all the ones that I've seen so far are 1-star heroes.
So far they're 1-star heroes. I already had 2 of them, so that was easy to pass on. 2 of them I didn't have. And those are the ones like, do I take this one? Does it fit into my strategy? But it's just a cool event that as long as you're checking in, and you get a free hero, and you still have time to get the free Hulkbuster. So there's just cool things going on there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right.
No, it's a fun game. I'm definitely enjoying it. And it's a good diversion from other things. So
it's a different game.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of like about it, but it's got some pedigree there from MAA. I mean, it uses ISO-A, and the dimension aspect of the storyline really feels a lot like the Incursions.
Yeah, so totally does.
It's kind of an extension. So I saw Buck say in chat earlier that he felt like it was the game that Martek probably should have been.
Okay.
You know, Martek had its flaws. I think Martek was a cool game as a strategy game. I didn't like the whole base building aspect of it. And I think that was pretty much the universal response, was like, yucky.
Yeah.
Future Fight, it's a fun game. It's like MAA, it's deceptively complex. Like it seems simple on the surface until you get playing it and you're like, oh, I'm going to have to farm a lot. And later on, the content really ramps up to such a degree that it's not like early on, you know, because you unlock the autoplay feature when you 3-star a mission. And so it will just play back through for it for you. But like, you can't necessarily do that with all the late content because it's kind of brutal and your guy will just stand and fire and die. So, you know, it's that's a very MMO term. I forget. It's not everybody understands that. Basically, they'll stand in like things that are going to kill them because they're not a player and they don't realize that it's bad. Right. So it's got some depth to it and it's a lot of fun. But for me, the biggest thing about Future Fight is I don't know if this is a sign of how they're going to be the whole time, but since I started playing about two and a half weeks ago, they have done nothing but take care of their players. They give a lot of stuff away. They have awesome sales, like incredible sales. You know, the buy one, get one on the in-game currency that you buy with real cash. And then at the same time, they rolled out this huge sale where they give you basically three characters in a bundle and then extra training pieces for them for later. And then a huge amount of what would be the equivalent of in-game silver and stuff like that. Huge pile of it for a very fair price. I was blown away. And it was at the same time as the double your money thing, which was great. Like, Playdom doesn't do that. Like, Playdom's like, we're going to put a gold sale and there's going to be nothing to buy. But you know something's coming. You just don't know what. And then, you know, you sit there for a couple of days and you're like, oh, okay. So I'm glad I bought that gold sale because, you know, I wanted that thing. So, yeah, they're really, really awesome in that regard. I hope they stick with it and I hope they push forward because it's a fun game. The rumors are that Guardians of the Galaxy are just around the corner because they have some of the sprites in the game and they're spoiled in some of the art. So the hope
is... Yeah, well, the loading screen, you see Rocket and Groot doing their thing in the middle of the...
Sure. Yeah, and they're on the bottom. So, yeah, you know they've got to be coming at some point.
So it'd be awesome. Cool. All right. Ibbitit. You're up.
Yes. Hello, Herald Carrier Warriors 3, says MA Clairvoyant. Hope you all enjoyed your Memorial Day weekend. I've been thinking long and hard about the rumored extra agent gear slots supposedly hidden in the code. The belief is that agents will be able to purchase one or two extra slots for the sum of 128 gold each. And thoughts below are based on those facts being correct. So take it with a grain of salt. While I love the idea of allowing extra slots to the agent, my worry is a trend towards creating a gulf in abilities between the haves, gold buyers, versus the have-nots. This has been the potential to make it nearly impossible for free agents to compete at a high level in PvP. Not all agents or players can afford to choose to purchase gold and spend a good amount of time farming weapons, gold, and gear to keep up with the gold players. I completely get that Playdom has to make a profit and that gold players keep the game running. And this is not a wallet warrior bash, but by putting the price of these slots so high, I fear they may drive away players. Surely they make money from advertising to a large player base to supplement the gold income and the gold links, and if they drive away their free players, the advertising revenue will drop. Of course, the coding could have been read wrong. It may only be partially written. The price could be wrong. It may not happen at all, although they've already coded the additional space in the PvP team screen. What are your thoughts on this hypothetical option? Many thanks, Agent Parrot, MAA Clairvoyant. Now, well, obviously, we've covered a lot of this.
I was going to say, if he's really clairvoyant, he should have seen our answers as we talked about this before.
Wow, sure, yeah. All right. Dang.
Time to not be nice. No, I was kidding.
Yeah, no, so that's, yeah, that is the, that we covered so much of it early on that
well, you know, all of your points. He brings an aspect that I don't think we quite hit, which was the pricing out of, I mean, you did talk about the gap in the has and has nots. I didn't even really think about really that it would run people off from the game. You know?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, because if you don't want to spend the money, all of a sudden now you've got way less chance of getting ahead in PvP because of people who have spent the money. So all of a sudden you're in a situation where PvE might still be fun for you, but PvP won't be.
Yeah, you take away a whole third of the game because you can't play. And there's plenty of free players out there. Does this change it from a freemium game or free to play with the purchases in game to a pay to play game? Mm-hmm. I mean, to get the whole game, you basically have to pay. Does it effectively change it?
Who knows?
We'll find out, I guess.
Maybe we will, maybe we won't. Maybe it won't even happen.
That's true. That's true.
I'm the skeptic.
Those guys at the Helicarrier, they poo-pooed on it. Scrap that program. We're not doing it anymore. Screw that.
That's right. We'll pretend we never thought of it. Paul?
All right. Agent Chris writes in, all hail the helicarrier. Spaceball salute. It's been a while since I dropped line, and I wanted to put some of my thoughts down and see what the brain trust thought, unless you prefer Sheldon Cooper's Council of Gamers.
Well, it says right here in the podcasting roommate agreement that we can't be called that.
And we did sign it, yes, under duress. Not a fan of this QA/FA debacle. The last patch makes it better than the initial crap that we got, but it's still a half-finished turd. Why, oh why, would they implement something as game-changing as that and not release a finished product? Have a majority of the heroes had their abilities adjusted? Yes. Have all of them and are the ones that have been done final? No. My biggest issue, in my opinion, is the fact that the agent is subjected to these changes without the advent of any of the gear being adjusted. Should all of the QA gear be QAs, or should many have been changed to FAs? Based on the hero abilities that have thus far been changed to FAs, it would seem like a lot of gear needs to be changed to FAs. So thanks for not only canceling the pre-VP, I'm not a fan myself, but they serve a purpose, but also half instituting a new gameplay mechanic. I have to agree with King on this. It was an unnecessary change. Typically, you look for solvency issues when implementing a big change, and QAs were not breaking the game. See, I'm going to take a second to take an aside. The opinion of some people is that it was getting out of hand, that there are too many quick actions, and that this change was a good thing. So it's not – the implementation may be weak, but the actual idea that you should not be able to take like six quick actions in a turn is pretty valid. So moving on with the letter, though. If as a player you were experiencing a multitude of issues with opposing QAs and you weren't running away to exhaust, then shame on you. It's just like the metas of overlapping shields and multiple layers of protectors. Should we be expecting a one shield / one protectability limit? Is that really where we want this game to go? I've had those bad days in PvP when you have to chalk it up to RNG, turn order, pairing, or simple strategy. We can't win 100% of the time. We have to adjust fire and move forward. Was a safeguard tack the impetus of all this dookie? If it was, wouldn't giving that suit the does not trigger class abilities effect instead of unrelenting have been more the more elegant solution? I worried more about infiltrators counterattacking than I did becoming exhausted. I'm a little surprised to see an MTG player like Paul on the side of something that is so reminiscent of interrupts versus instants leading to the stack, et cetera, that always made the game more enjoyable. I'm not quite sure what he means by that, but maybe he can elaborate next week. I have one suggestion that I think would add a little flavor to the game. Real consequences for disoriented. Let's see the buffs and positive statuses have a chance of hitting your opponents. It would be nice to see the class abilities triggered and statuses placed on whoever gets hit when you're attacking your own team as well. Oh, your disoriented R-Hulk punched your infiltrator Peast and he kicked a... Dude, acronyms, man.
Peast.
The amount of acronyms in this letter is too damn high. He kicked Red Hulk in the face, giving him generalized. So sorry, imagine neurotroped hero A hitting neurotroped hero B and hero B counters that attack and loses his or her trope counter. The cube has been around for so long, this would be a cool way to tweak its mechanics and add some more nuance to it. Thoughts on the rumored 5th and 6th item slots, impossible L15. 5th and 6th item slots, make them function as class change on the 3rd and 4th slots, and it requires an FA to switch between them. If the item is not an active item, then any passives associated with it will not function. This would allow for the agents and company to have a chance at mitigating the additional items that they may not have yet. Oh, may not have yet. Weird stray comma.
Yeah.
That's an interesting idea. Basically saying that you would turn two of your slots into multi-actions and that the inactive item would not have any effect.
Mm-hmm. So you can use those passives. That's a way to do it.
That would give people a lot of flexibility and also prevent, you know, the kind of stacking that we were talking about earlier, which may or not be a good or bad thing. So that's an interesting thought, though. I like that. I like the way he's thinking. L15, steal from Future Fight. Add something like Stark dossiers to the game, add them to the HB, Incursion, Epic Boss, and PvP spins, make them generic, but assign each hero a dossier requirement to unlock their full potential that would add an eISO slot to every costume. Lose the training / silver cost. Don't allow L15 to be purchasable by gold, and don't make the drop rates for dossiers friendly. PD would make a mint on roulette respins. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Please, PD, for the love of all things Excelsior, stop adding things and fixing non-issues until you fix actual problems. Am I alone in being annoyed that Cower still prevents buffs / debuffs? As always, try to find the wisdom in all things. Agent Chris, FTH.
Very good. Yeah.
Classified, not classified. I'm not sure here. Is it? Yeah, it's unclassified. Okay.
Very dense letter with a lot of good things to say in there. At least a lot of thought-provoking things to say in there.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know that I agree with all of Chris's ideas, but I love the conversation. I think mm-hmm. that's great.
And it's a very interesting way of proposing the 5th and 6th weapon slots. You know, we were talking a little bit about making those just give you passives only, or make them so you can only have scrolls in them or something like that. And that's a way of doing it where it would be, it wouldn't quite be a complete and total game changer, but it would add something cool to the game, you know, being able to swap around and lose the benefits of whichever item is outside of that.
You could also add a roulette to it where it's just
which
item, you get to use this weapon today on this turn.
Oh, that'd be great. You put six items in and it spins a wheel to determine which four of those six items you're going to be playing with.
Yeah. Or you have at least have access to or something. That'd be
right. Oh yeah, nice.
Yeah, that would work, but that'd be funny. All right, Agent Averill here. How's it going, EGS? Epic Golden Soapbox, in case you forgot. After patch wave one, many felt the game was broken, ruined, etc. I thought it was just stalled until the next wave. What bothered me about it wasn't the neutering of the new tactician safeguard suit, nor the case of it's free or is it quick or who knows anymore. What was the worst part, you ask? They ruined tacos. If my characters were stalled and I used a taco, that would be the end of their turn, even if they didn't get indigestion. I was also thinking this would be a terrible time to release PvP, and then PvP happened. Luckily, patch wave 2 came with it, and all is right with tacos again, despite them still saying quick action in the tooltip. If they didn't work, I'd imagine President Deadpool would be outraged. As for PvP, now that kind of would make sense. If Deadpool is running Playdom, mm-hmm. the chaos of the patches, it's all starting to come together now. I'm starting to see what's going on here.
Sure.
Some people just want to watch the world burn. I had hoped they would have kept the silver at 250,000 and gold at 15, but that's a minor point. I didn't look at the prizes. Did they drop it back?
They're back. Yeah, they're back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It is a minor point, but I agree. You know, that'd have been nice.
It's the point remains that those are completely lackluster rewards for a month-long event.
Dude, 1 million silver would be something even worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. You know, then nobody would really be complaining as much about, I can't get into gold, but I got a million silver.
You got a million silver.
It's not even game-breaking because you can accumulate that, you know, relatively quickly just by playing the game anyways. So it's just a nice little boost. I don't know why they're being so stingy.
Why are you so stingy with the fruit? Sorry, that's from Man Up. That's a great show. You should have watched it when it was on. All right, so...
Then we'd get your joke.
Well, go look it up. It's a meta joke. It's fun. I am trying out the Bruiser, Hulkbuster, and Spider-Man with his EISO that gives smartest man in the room, starting with moves that have guaranteed hit and true strike with eventual guaranteed crit and ignore defense coming after is quite enjoyable. Also, downgrade is surprisingly effective on enemy agents and characters in metal suits. I have previously been using Damon Hellstrom and Satana for offense in my last few PvP seasons with almost adamantium results. With this new scroll of Wrath, I guess I'll have to continue using them. I don't know what the hell that scroll is. Scroll Rutamaroth?
Yeah, it's the new one. Yeah,
that's not even a meat.
It's not meat.
Not a
meat.
No,
it's not meat.
It's not a scroll then. I refuse to say it exists. It's no.
All right, okay.
It basically screams, Satana! Now, if only Damon's AISO was more useful. He just kind of pauses for a minute. All right, let's take a quick 10 seconds of solace for Damon's AISO.
All right, I can muster 3 seconds. Why couldn't it make purifying flames target all allies or be a quick action or not be removable by enemy actions? Something. Him. Excuse me. Sorry about that. I had such high hopes for him to get great AISO, but it falls away of Punisher's class-changing AISO. Maybe some other chapter, I guess. All right, that's enough for me. Hope you all do well in PvP, Agent Averill. P.S. When Red Hulk reaches 100% heat, isn't he supposed to melt down twice, is he? I think that's a problem that needs to be fixed in a future patch wave. I was not aware. I used him on defense for a while. I did not know that he double blasted.
Catch that either, yeah.
Which would be really, really bad.
Double exploded. Yeah.
Crazy. It's... You know, here's the thing. That reminded me. We haven't given kudos again to Playdom for the E and AISOs. They rolled those out actually pretty close to flawlessly and sprinkled them around is one thing that we're always excited about. And even if you got something like the Punisher's class-changing ISO that wasn't the game changer we wanted it to be, there's still plenty of great AISOs out there. So Playdom, for all the poo-pooing we've done in the past couple of weeks that you've deserved, we do want to hail back to at least, what is it, a year ago when you launched EISO and AISO. Great job with those. And mm-hmm. Not every character is going to be 100% perfect, as he points out here in the email, but there's still other AISOs out there to put on them. So,
yeah.
Who uses Damon in PvP? That's interesting.
So, yeah.
I see him every once in a while. Yeah, he's...
The scroll is a meat.
Okay.
It is a meat?
It's an Icelandic word.
Oh, okay.
Thormatur, Snorri's going to yell at me if I mispronounce that, is a selection of traditional Icelandic food consisting mainly of meat and fish products cured in a traditional manner.
All right. Now I can actually acknowledge that it's real. But
now it's a real scroll.
But how do you know? I mean, we happen to have people from all over the world to help explain these things to us. And Iceland is hardly even a country. I mean, it's barely an island. And we have not one but two, I think, people from Iceland listening. And we have them in our back pocket explaining these things. Who else has? Where is Playdom? Do they develop this game in Iceland? Snorri, are you doing this to us through Playdom? Are you President Deadpool?
Maybe Snorri is involved somehow. That could totally be it. Yeah,
because it's like that's a reach for me, which I'm glad he explained it now. I'll acknowledge that's real, but it's like holy crap, man!
I just want to point out that Google is real, and it's a thing. And
Google is my religion.
That I typed the name of that scroll in backwards because that's what they do, and that then I had to open a different Google search to figure out how to pronounce. Because it uses a, you know.
Hey, you know, all I'm saying is if you play MAA backwards, you hear Satan speaking. And with that, the devil has fled.
He asks when we will get the scroll of Godta, which is hot dog backwards.
Nice.
That scroll would be great because it seems so. You know what? I'm going to steal their naming convention. I'm just going to write a book and make every proper noun be like a meat backwards.
There you go. Yeah.
Stealing it.
That's awesome. And I do say thank you for everybody. Cassie's pointed out we have people all over the world who can read a wiki, so McFall doesn't have to. I was like, you know what? I'm down with that. As long as you're here to explain it to me, I'll keep playing the game. Because, you know, everybody did, rightfully so, there were some lashback a little bit for the big political segment we did about sexism in comics, and they said we play the game to escape. Well, I play the game to not have to look crap up. Okay, I don't want to have to go to Wiki and figure it out. I want to hit the button and have it work.
I'm gonna say something I haven't said in a while. Filthy casual.
As soon as you piped up, I heard it coming.
Yeah. So,
any tips of the week this week, gentlemen?
Nope, nothing for me. Play hard, agents.
I don't have a tip, but I do have a little bit of. I want to send my condolences out to our friend Mark Twigg. He had a personal loss just recently. So, you know, our hearts go out with you, man. Stay strong. We love you. Yeah. And that's all I got for this week.
All right. And to the beginners like LA, to the basic trainers out there, this PvP, you want to get involved, watch poor man's PvP on the Kingfisher channel, Kingfisher 745 on YouTube. That'll help you out. And shoot for what you can get. Get some silver out of it. Maybe get some gold. If you don't have very many heroes, you're not going to get very far. But it's worth at least getting the free silver out of. And keep heart, because it is a grind, and we'll get you there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, keep listening to this show, and we'll help you as much as we can.
Absolutely.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, the boss has fled.